other people may have some reflections, or you may have some other things that come into your mind about this.
Something I remember, something that you had said, because somebody asked you, well, how do you base your decisions, difficult decisions to make in relationship to a general or a difficult situation? And you had given some advice about what your criteria is for making decisions. A lot of folks, I think, when they go back home, even here, have some important decisions to make. They're going to shuffle the priorities.
Okay, so the criteria that I use for making decisions. First is I ask myself, you know, I try and outline what the various choices are and try and be really creative. In other words, don't see it as either this or that, because if it's, then the mind just gets so extreme. It gets too black and white, you know. So, okay, what are the various choices? And some of them may, you know, you need to create some causes to go in that direction of that choice, but that's okay. So what are the various choices? And then I think, in which, you know, to what degree in each of these options would I be able to keep my precepts and keep good ethical behavior? Because to me, that's the bottom line. Yeah, because if I put myself in a situation where I'm not going to be able to keep my precepts and where I'm not going to be able to keep good ethical behavior, then the base is gone, you know? So that's how I really make the principal thing. It's like, where am I going to be able to really keep my precepts and live as an ethical human being? Yeah, that's number one. And then two is, where am I going to be able to practice bodhicitta? Yeah, what situation is going to be both supportive of my bodhicitta practice? So this involves, you know, situations. It may involve, you know, whether I live near my teacher or near a group of Dharma people or in a community or do this or do that. You know, but these are the kinds of criteria that I think are really important for decision making. In other words, what's going to bring me the most happiness now, and what's going to bring me the most material gain now, or how I'm going to be most famous and respectful. But, you know, how will I be able to keep ethical discipline? How will I be able to practice bodhicitta? So that's what I use, right? You know, and if you look at those two, there's so many causes that we need to create to be able to do those, so that, you know, branches out into a lot of different factors to look at when we're making decisions.
When I thought about the question I put, it's a very big question. If you ask somebody, what are you going to do the rest of your life? So from yesterday, when I saw the message of today we are going to discuss, I started that in my mind. Okay, if somebody asks me this, what shall I do the rest of my life when I go out here? I thought this is a very big, in a way, could be easy questions to answer or difficult. But what I thought is, what I said or what I will say, is going to be realistic. I'm going to really commit to what I say and keep it. Or I'm going to say a lot of philosophical things I could say and not really happening something when I go back. So to relate to myself, I would say that this is important for me because I am not a very practical, realistic person. I've been most of my life with a good hope and intention to help others, but so idealistic that many things I thought I would do or could do have not happened. So I have plans, practical plans. I want things, implement when I will go back. And at the same time, in my mind is, are you going to really do now that?
Yeah. But did you notice here that when I said, what's important for you to do with the rest of your life, none of it was practical plans. It wasn't, I'm going to go here and do this job, or I'm going to go buy this, or I'm going to, you know? What I think is important for the rest of our lives is first to have our mind clear. When our mind is clear, the practical decisions fall into place. Okay? When our mind isn't clear, we can make all the practical decisions we want, and things don't turn out very well. Yeah? Because it's a muddled mind making the decision. But did you notice, I mean, what I said, I didn't tell all of you, you know, no, I want you all to go do this and do this and buy this or give away this or have that or meet this person. The only person I told you to meet was His Holiness. Or have a relationship with this person. Or, you know, I didn't tell you what to do, did I? I told you what to think about. Yeah? Because I'm really a very firm believer that, you know, the more our own mind is clear about what our priorities are, what our values are, what's important in our life, then what to do is not a big decision. Yeah? When our mind isn't clear, then it's so tormented because we want to make sure we're doing the right thing and, you know, if I do that, what happens if I do that and not this? Then 10 years down the line, I might have wished that I had done this instead of that. And maybe there's the third thing. But I got to choose one of them. And then maybe, you know, after 5 years, you know, can I rerun my life and go back and do the other one? And then after another 5 years, can I rerun again and do the third? And then having done all of them, can I rerun again and live out the which one was the best one? You can't live your life like that, can you? Doubting yourself and you being so afraid of making the wrong decision. You go totally bonkers, you know? When we make a decision about what to do, we have to do it with as much clarity as we can and then just go ahead, you know, without all this self-doubt. And if things, in a practical way, don't work out the way we do, then we reevaluate, you know, and see what's going on. But the important thing is really what to have a clear mind. Because, I mean, what I see so much is, you know, when our mind's not clear, like you said, if we're just living in our heads with, like, a lot of idealistic daydreams, or if we're not sure what we want, you know? Yeah? Do I want to be in a relationship with this kitty or not, with this person or not? Do I want to live here or don't I? I don't know. And then if you don't know, then don't make a decision. You know, but go back to your principles and what's important to you in your life. Yeah? And the practicals, really, I think that the practical stuff falls into place if we do that.
In the meditations all the time, when my mind would get into that state of do this, do that, what, you know, and start kind of questioning and but I was there and there was, I couldn't get busy and do any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It was very helpful to see that it would just drop away and, you know, it kind of gave some muscle memory for, I hope, that when my mind gets like that out there, I can just watch that and not get all whipped up. That, you know, just watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll soft, it'll calm, it'll, you know, I don't have to get plugged into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was helpful.
Seems that you said strikes me as most significant is that you're having that bigger view. That pushes buttons kind of because it feels really radical. In a sense. Because the thing that I struggle with is not taking care of myself. And that, you know, I do my morning clarifying, and I can be involved in all kinds of virtuous activity, but then I'm exhausted, and then it's sort of, you know, evening practice is sloppy, and I lose my focus, and then I'm not doing any good for anybody. Mm-hmm. It's got this sort of spiraling effect of I'm not being effective. And Diane and I were talking about this just yesterday, and I said, but if I think of future lives, then that means maybe I'm not going to go see this patient tonight, or I'm not going to do this because I can try to become a Buddha, and so I can help people in future lives. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that's a radically different view, because I get overwhelmed, and I'm not a strong person with boundaries. There's so many people in need. There's no end to their altruistic, suffering.
Yeah.
You need to deal with that.
Right.
I just get sucked into it, and it's all great work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Right. And that's right. You know, to do that great work, you have to make sure that you take care of yourself and your own mind, so that you're effective
mm-hmm.
in doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And sometimes, because I get into that too. I mean, all these people write me with their problems, and they're this and they're that, and I get into feeling like, I got to respond immediately, otherwise they're going to fall apart. And then this retreat, it was the first time I told the webmasters, I said, if people write with their personal problems this year, tell them I'm in retreat and to write me back in March. Yeah? I said, don't forward it to me. Why? Because maybe they'll find somebody else to help them with their problem. Maybe they'll solve their own problem. Yeah? But if I accumulate this stack of people's problems for 3 months, by the time I respond, they may have already solved their problem. It may not be a problem anymore. So in a way, it was like being able to trust people that if I'm not around, they'll find the resources they need somehow. You know, I mean, if I'm the only person who can help, then Bodhisattva vows you got to be there. But if there's other ways that people can find help. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
You know?
New behavior I'm looking at.
Yeah. Or maybe you can't go and help them there, because there's so many. So you call them on the phone and you talk for 5 minutes. Yeah. Because sometimes it's what helps people the most is just to know that somebody else cares,
mm-hmm.
that you may not have to be there for an hour or two. It might be just a 5-minute phone call that's sufficient. But it's good work you're doing, but to keep doing it and not have compassion burn out, you need to keep balanced.
Yeah. That's real clear. Thank you.
Yeah. And by the way, for all this talk about balance, balance is something that exists for a nanosecond. Okay? Don't think you're going to get balanced and then now I figured out balance and now I'm balanced and I'm going to remain balanced the rest of my life.
No.
Okay? Remaining, keeping ourselves in balance is a lifelong thing. Why? Because the circumstances around us are changing all the time. And our own mind is changing all the time, and different karmas ripening all the time. So it's not like you get to balance and you always stay balanced and live happily ever after. But it's kind of like, I guess, somebody on ice skates or something, or rollerblades. You're always trying to stay balanced, and you just learn to flow with it. Yeah? And move with it.
Spinning a plate that you keep adjusting, you have to keep it up there.
Yeah.
So it's
bad. Yeah. Yeah. So you keep adjusting, mm-hmm. and to do that, you have to slow down and pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
we get into the all or nothing of it.
Mm.
Oh, I'm out of balance. Well, so it's like find a solid balance or find a solid out of balance
mm-hmm.
instead of the fluid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But do you think about the practical thing? When I'm trying to remember when this was. Maybe around 1990 or something. Or somewhere in the early 90s. I was visiting my brother. Okay? My brother's a doctor. You know. So what's important, you know? Plans, security, financial stability, family, all these things. So my brother and I were talking one day and he said to me, where do you want to be in your life 10 years from now? You know? And so he's expecting me to give him some concrete, practical plan. And I said, yeah, I want to be a kinder person in 10 years, and I want to be wiser, and, you know, and I just kind of talk like that. And he said to me, don't you want to have your own Dharma center, you know, and where you're kind of the person in charge and everybody comes and, you know, to you? And I said, no, I'm not particularly interested in that. So it's kind of quite interesting how things evolved in my life, you know.
Not
yeah.
For what you don't wish for.
Yeah. No. But yeah. I mean, because to him, you know, where do you want to be in 10 or 20 years is practical. And for me, it was like, I don't know how this is going to look in 10 or 20 years. No idea.
Outside versus the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. So aside from, you know, puja tonight and this is kind of our last discussion group or community meeting and whatever. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has anything they want to say or propose or whatever. Okay.
One thing I thought about this is that keep going day by day, right? That was what I was going to finish to say.
Mm-hmm.
Just going very in time to be just day by day mm-hmm. and see how circumstances are developing for me to take decisions and move. Mm-hmm. Because if I plan too much, of course I get tense and I don't function well.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I thought was we learned about in 3 months we have some habits we learned. And the little things I observe in me and in other situations, I see that the retreat is ending and we are like, okay, the retreat is ending, so we are not very aware like we were at the very beginning. So I think it's kind of an advice to me that it's easy to start even now to drop out some things that we kept because we were forced to keep it in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to try and say and find out when I go back these habits I learned.
Mm-hmm.
I what you commented, no, the daily practice. I know I said in the interview, maybe I'll try to get up very early and keep doing this mm-hmm. habit. Maybe it's going to get natural. And
mm-hmm.
I feel different than when I was feeling before, mm-hmm. like being late, too late in the night and too late in the morning. So I wouldn't mention the habits I think I learned, but I would like to find out what is going to help me to keep them and what is going to help me to go day by day and find out what is going to be really what I have to do and I can do, because I thought I developed some skills in communications and
mm-hmm.
in all my life I've been working in TV and radio and theater and music, and I feel like my scope is communication. So I thought if this is the skills I have, how can I be useful for my place, mm-hmm. my society, with the skills I have?
Mm-hmm.
So to find out how to do some work in community work and to be helpful, useful, in the scope I really feel I mm-hmm. can do something, instead of getting into other things that I would like to do, but maybe it's going to take time or I won't be able to be useful.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have one also from the group to keep the experience fresh and to have like some space to reflect on all this and to remember our conclusions from the retreat. But maybe each month or every other month, because we are all in contact through email, that we could set a date and do one full day of our retreat, like with our same schedule.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we could also take turns in living, you know, like everyone
motivation,
send it out to everyone.
And we
could share that with all our Dharma centers.
Uh-huh.
We invite everyone, we take that day to do the retreat, and then we give us some feedback.
Uh-huh.
So that could go on forever, maybe all the time we are alive.
Mm-hmm.
And also we could invite the other retreatants from the past retreat.
Yeah.
And then we create this energy and keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody's
on? Yeah. I think that's very nice.
Are you leaving the first one?
I can. I will send you a note and reset the date.
Yeah. And sometimes with this, trying to get everybody who has the same date free may be hard. So sometimes you just have to set a date, and then somebody may miss it one month but be there the next.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're able to give a schedule in advance, then.
Oh, we could, I was thinking maybe propose two or three different dates to everyone,
mm-hmm.
and I receive the feedback. And the best date to choose that one, mm-hmm. and then next person leaving does the same thing. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. even if we can't do it that day, we do it within that space, so that
yes.
we do it. That's
yeah.
what's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh. Uh huh.
Sunday or Saturday?
Yeah, so we could do it here. You know, our community meditation days could be. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like the first or second or third or fourth Sunday of the month, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Third?
Second?
Yeah, and we can also reschedule. We only have those planned until, I think, August.
So.
You want to do third? Third Sunday of the month?
Es el domingo de cada
mes. Yeah. That's a good thing to do that day, actually. And then, you know, you have to send everybody and remind and the motivation and
the
destination.
The motivation with that, because that's the one we'll be reading.
Mm-hmm.
You could combine it with our
all day. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We'll combine it with our all day set. Yeah. Yeah. And then community people can come for however many sessions they can make it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, maybe this for the most part of the computer is quite easy. And you can actually record and save the motivation, do an MP3 file and put it there. Or if you live in the same city, you know, on the phone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so we're on.
Okay.
For the third Sunday. Yeah?
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, so whether we're at home, you know, we're traveling, wherever we are, to try and do that. I'm curious, after what Mickey said, what habits did you learn here that were really useful to you? I think that might be interesting to share.
I have to be aware of my talking. And more courage also. And people. They are very.
For me, one of the most important lessons that I have in this retreat is to learn to take care of others without expectations, to give praise,
mm-hmm.
or to have some retribution.
Mm-hmm.
Because before I came here, I was engaged in a very difficult situation with a nephew that is getting bad with depression and things like that. But I didn't could help him without this kind of expectation. So I was passing through a very, very bad situation. With my emotional state, but also physical reactions, and I almost lost the opportunity to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I did the decision to be here because I can't let reality to come alone. I thought it's not possible that I need reality to go in this compromise and to Patricio and also to the others, no? And on the retreat, when I need some motivations, I talk about that. When we don't are conscious or mindfulness, when we try to help engage our ego, we want to look like a super girl, but it's our ego that is looking for praise, is looking for some recognition. And I learned here that this is not protecting me. This is very, very dangerous, even physically. So one of my big learnings here is that we don't need to look for recognition for anybody. And then when we renounce to do that, it comes many, many things that we didn't expect. So I'm not telling my friends, thank you very much, the Ali and you, because you give me lots of gifts, money that I didn't expect. But it's very useful for me because I need some glasses and something, and I am able to share with my Dharma Center. We have projects. And this morning will be very, very useful for our project. But we don't need to have these expectations when we work on others. Because those things that we receive is very, very much are bigger than we are expecting. It's a very, very nice lesson.
For me, I think the thing that I learned was a clearer skill about watching what my mind is doing. also that introspective alertness. So that really feels like I've done that for some time now. And so I can keep seeing that. So that's what I want to make sure to keep hold of and not lose that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the things that were practical, for example, all the very, to keep the altar very clean and to care for an altar more in detail and to find more the value of what the altar means for me. And it's difficult, but to be punctual and to be in time for everything I have to do. As a Mexican, as for myself, it's difficult for me to keep being in time every time I know the schedule. And in the emotional part, it's like to be aware that things change a lot and they are not solid, that it's completely possible to find out that nothing is going to be the way you conclude when you felt that situation, and then to be open to work with myself and not get conclusions. And in the morning I was thinking, I really want to experience emptiness. Really, sounds kind of transferring something, but it's a goal we have, and that I want to really believe it, because I think we don't believe it. I don't believe it. I can be a Buddha, as some said. Sounds like he want to be a Buddha. He's pretentious. We could think that or feel that, but I really want to work slowly to assimilate and try to see. Well, yeah, I really want. It's interesting, it's amazing, very interesting to feel someday I could find emptiness and feel the bliss of emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the best beautiful present in my life, so why not believe in it? That one moment I can get it. That's what I thought about.
For me, maybe the most important habit is the habit of practice. I'm thinking about doing two sessions a day of one hour and a half, 1 hour and 15 minutes. It's like, why not? I mean, it's so easy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Before, it was almost like unthinkable. And I was like, just only two sessions? Of course. Waking up at 4? Right, no problem. So I think I was talking to someone about this, we were talking about it yesterday, that before my practice was in relation to my daily activities. I mean, if I was too busy, then my practice is short, or in the morning, or at night, or if it happens. And not the other way around. And so now for me, my priority is to reorganize my life in terms of my practice. So I'm very, very serious in waking up at the same time, doing my practice in the morning and at night, and the rest I will find time for my work or whatever. But now it looks like easy, like, yeah, why not? It's really, really simple.
Mm-hmm.
But before it was very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if it happens. But it will, I will really try.
And something that was very special to me is that I heard that the TV from a talk of you in Australia, and you were talking why people don't go to a center because they have to do. They have to watch TV, they have to go to the supermarket, they have to cook, they have to wash the dishes. Finding all excuses not to go to the Dharma Center.
and they will say, well, you don't have to, our life has a lot of have to. But you don't have a lot of have to. The only thing that you have to die, and the rest of your life is optional. And I shared that thought with one day of the motivation, because it was so, yeah, the only thing that I have to do is to die, and the problem is I don't want to. But not like it. But it was so relieved, and wow, yeah, and all my life is optional. It was so, you know what I mean? So
freeing.
Yeah. It was so, I was thinking that all week in those words, it was something like, wow, yeah, she's right. So, and I liked so much, so I told them in one day.
Mm-hmm. Should we meditate?